Welcome to Picton's Podcast. Things are going to get heavy. I've had a glass of medicinal red wine myself. I suggest maybe you should. Unless, like, you're listening to this in the car or something in its daytime. This podcast is part of a series of slightly weird ones I've done recently, and I've realised, considering what the next one's going to be too, I seem to be unravelling reality itself. But anyway, bear with me, there might be some interesting bits. It's called The Map Is Not the Territory, which is the catchphrase of a man called Alfred Korzybski. He tried to turn our world's thinking on its head with his book Science and Sanity, an introduction to non-Aristotelian systems and general semantics, which is quite a heavy tome. Semantics. A thing people say when they lose an argument. Well, that's just semantics. The above-mentioned book, or before-mentioned book, was summarised and more in the more digestible and highly recommended by me, Drive Yourself Sane, Using the Uncommon Sense of General Semantics by a couple called the Kodishes, the foreword of which was written by curmudgeon genius Albert Ellis, who created the Stoic-inspired Rational Emotional Behaviour Therapy, REBT, which in turn inspired Cognitive Behaviour Therapy, CBT, perhaps the main psychological treatment used today. I use many examples from that great book for this podcast and the blog post it's based on the Astral Project's blog, well worth a look. It's got pictures, music videos, all the stuff I can't easily put into the podcast, for obvious reasons. Or maybe not, I don't know. I got a new version of that book from Amazon at a very reasonable price. Otherwise, as usual, people are trying to sell used copies for hundreds of pounds. They're still printing it, so just buy a new one. Other general semantics fans include Astral Project's regulars such as Robert Anton Wilson, Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard, and other science fiction writers such as Robert A. Heinlein, writer of Stranger in a Strange Land, Richard Bandler and John Grinder, NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming founders, acknowledge Korzybski in their early work. General semantics is about how individuals evaluate their experiences and use and are used by language. A person could be like a coffee drinker who leaves the spoon in after stirring and then keeps poking themselves in the eye each time they try to drink, not learning. Shopping for unicorns that aren't there, but bumping into glass doors that are. You may be laughed at for demonstrating uncommon sense, for example, Semmelweis suggesting doctors wash their hands, for it later to become common sense, like the earth not being flat after all, and Einstein's laws largely replacing Newton's, but to some extent maybe being replaced themselves in quantum physics. Is the Aristotelian logic Western thinking is based on also in need of updating? Korzybski was shocked at technical knowledge for warfare being so advanced in World War I, but social knowledge that could have prevented the war being so backward, with people failing to learn from experience, which is still the case. Assumptions can be useful, but can also block our progress or lead us astray. We need to be aware of them and test them. The house may need to be rebuilt. Scientific method is rarely applied to people's personal lives, but might just help. This is not to say you should get nerdy scientists to give you advice on dating. One wrong assumption people may make, for example, is that their parents are to blame for how they are, rather than it may be that they are in fact too obsessed with the past themselves. Lateral thinking, Edward de Bono's style, may help us escape some of the ruts of old assumptions we are stuck in. Provocation by adding in random factors into generating solutions, and thinking or playing devil's advocate may help find a new way of seeing a situation. Look for the hidden assumptions, for example, Everybody's picking on me. The evidence can be looked at by observation as to how true parts of that verbalization are. Conclusions are best left tentative. Look for the black swans. Be prepared for your most precious theories to be disproved. A person's internal landscape and external landscape are just as important, making us function as an organism as a whole. The ever-changing nervous system plays a big part in this, not least the brain, and may mediate the powerful placebo effect, which can work in the opposite way, for example, in voodoo-cursed death. As for the external landscape, we are born into a particular neuro-evaluational, neuro-linguistic environment, with all of its rituals and taboos, but can move to different environments as we hopefully grow, keep absorbing different and opposing viewpoints. Our nervous systems are creating things out of a ceaseless, changing flurry of non-things. Everything flows. You cannot step twice into the same river, man. The frame of reference of the observer needs to be taken into account, along with its limitations. The observer effect is of great importance in Einstein's theories and then in quantum physics. Speaking of which, you cannot directly experience submicroscopic reality. Your nervous system filters information and then constructs your experience with perception, influenced by assumptions, trying to make sense of it, making bets based on the incomplete information. This can lead to misinterpretations and even illusions, for example, of seeing figures in the dark that aren't there, and optical illusions. Now, onto those maps. A myriad of things can be mapped these days. A map may help to usefully plan, but if not accurate, may mislead people, lead them astray. The map is not the territory. It would be too big to carry, for one thing. The menu is not the meal. The map will always have to leave a lot out. And should it include the person making the map? And then, should it include the person making the map, including the original person making the map? That observer effect again. But the map maker does make a difference. The maps are a reflection of their functioning, and those maps of maps can just go on being made forever with increasing levels of abstraction, etc., which can be a mixture of good and bad in their results. An effect can be a function of multiple variables, and a particular cause can serve as a variable in a number of different functions with multiple effects. You can never merely do one thing. Like the butterfly fluttering its wings, ultimately causing a typhoon on the other side of the world. Chaos theory. Or a couple having a baby. Chaos. New additions can lead to exponential growth. Like pondweed covering a pond surface. Or global warming, there will eventually be a tipping point of no return, which may have crept up so gently. In having a better functioning map for our life situations, we need to look at structures and functional relations, and for multiple variables, especially any that may grow exponentially. Our maps need to be questioned and improved. Korzybski developed a tool called the structural differential for evaluating and problem solving. An actual event becomes a perceptual object via our nervous system. An abstracted map, as there is movement from non-verbal to verbal. The word is not the thing, even though advertisers, for one, try to make us think so. The next level of abstraction is going beyond a verbal description and brings in inferences, statements about statements, assumptions, premises, conclusions, hypotheses, generalizations, and theories. We need to be conscious of our abstracting, or we may jump to wrong conclusions by identifying with wrong things and make static and inflexible decisions, assuming the map is the territory, trying to eat the menu, acting as if people are always the labels we've given them. Awareness of abstraction and prioritizing the facts will help us to stay in control. I can imagine Donald Trump shouting, "Don't confuse me with the facts here." Higher order abstractions are ideally held far more tentatively. Looking at a news story, what seem to be statements of fact and what statements of just inference? Turning off the internal abstracty chatter and silently contemplating may be a helpful way to break the cycle. Zen style, muscle relaxation, sensory and breath awareness, engaging in creative pursuits and aesthetic appreciation. getting out of your own way, the Alexander technique and mindfulness meditation also overlap here. Think of it as coming to your senses. The following story of Korzybski's shows perhaps how assumptions can be made in the absence of the facts. In a railroad compartment, an American grandmother with her young and attractive granddaughter, a Romanian officer and a Nazi officer were the only occupants. The train was passing through a dark tunnel, and all that was heard was a loud kiss and a vigorous slap. After the train emerged from the tunnel, nobody spoke, but the grandmother was saying to herself, "What a fine girl I've raised. She'll take care of herself. I'm proud of her." The granddaughter was saying to herself, "Well, grandmother is old enough not to mind a little kiss. Besides, the fellows are nice. I'm surprised what a hard wallop grandmother has." The Nazi officer was meditating. "How clever those Romanians are. They steal a kiss and have the other fellow slapped." The Romanian officer was chuckling to himself. "How smart I am. I kissed my own hand and slapped the Nazi." Inferences go beyond observable, verifiable facts. Although even with so-called facts, nothing is certain. It's a matter of probability. At best, they may be true-ish. Apart from those times, through observation, you can be absolutely sure your map is matching the territory. For example, if the question was, did the Romanian chuckle, as against, were the four people sitting in a railroad compartment? Probably. But it doesn't say. Some may have been standing or lying down, etc. It's good to recognize when you're making inferences. Collecting converging inferences and close observations can bring us closer to certainty. The creativity of higher order abstractions are to be valued if checked out critically against lower order abstractions. Now, to the power of language over us, it's well known that the Inuit and skiers have many words for snow. Indo-European languages are obsessed with splitting into things, noun and what they do, verb, and having both in a sentence. But it's artificial. For example, a light flashed. But the light and flash here are the same thing. The Hopi language simply says repi, flash occurred, a verb with no subject. The Aristotelian language structure still dominates the West. A is A. A thing is A or not A, the premise of the excluded middle. Similarly, it cannot be both A and not A, the premise of non-contradiction. All very well, at a macroscopic level, within an insular culture. Paradoxes often only seem to exist within such an outdated system. But it can lead on to ideas such as there being a flat earth, that invisible germs don't exist, that things are separate from what they do, the world being fully static, unchanging and unknowable, either or, black or white. But we all know there are at least 50 shades of grey. And going back to Einstein again, there's no longer just energy or mass, they're in a continuum. The process world constantly changes and interacts with our individual nervous system to bring about our experiences. You never get two A's the same, just as you can never step twice into the same river, man. The second A is at best a map of the first A, and the map is not the territory. You're not the same as any other individual, or even as yourself, even a moment later. George Bernard Shaw said, "The only man who behaves sensibly is my tailor. He takes my measure anew each time he sees me, whilst all the rest go on with their old measurements and expect them to fit me." In an ever-changing process world of unique individuals, the word is may not be appropriate. "I am a doctor" could be better phrased as, "I sometimes work as a doctor." "I do a lot of other things," and there are a lot of types of doctor. "I am lazy" implies laziness is somehow found within me. I may seem lazy in some situations. There will also be many who seem lazier than me, even in those situations. When it comes to either or, yes and no, or maybe, may be the most truthful answers, invoking Robert Anton Wilson. Shades of in-betweenness help protect us from being limited in choice. It may be helpful to generate multiple alternatives, looking for possible multiple causative factors rather than one cause of an event. Labels should be questioned and avoided. Korzybski described a village where there was only one barber, who shaved only those who did not shave themselves. So does the barber shave himself or not? If yes, then he did not shave himself. But if no, he did. Korzybski saw the term barber as a label for a fiction. The person is a human being who only seems to behave like a barber some of the time. Words have multiple meanings to different people. People need to be asked, but what do you mean by that? Just the words themselves could mean just about anything. For example, the word success or happy that seems so important to so many people. Even profoundly meaningful sounding statements can be nonsense when analysed. We make maps of maps. This podcast is like a map of the Kodish's map, of Korzybski's map. We react at a higher level to our lower level reactions and can improve the quality of those. It can open up closed systems and help to avoid self-fulfilling prophecies, thinking outside of the box. Base life on what you've learned from experience, not based on a bunch of shoulds and ought tos, especially if they come from other people. Being fixed on wrongly held ideals leads to frustration and then demoralization. A good attitude going into a new discussion or situation might be, I don't know, let's see. Being shown something makes it easier to learn than being given some generic written instructions. Visuals are sometimes better, somewhere in between. Even a visual map is not the territory. People deserve their own individual subcategories, not to be lumped together based on a few seeming similarities. And they themselves will also act differently in different situations and at different times in their lives. On a positive note, it means people can change for the better. An alternative to generalizing that all of some group are something is the term coined by Robert Anton Wilson, sombunol, some but not all. For example, sombunol men seem to be sexist. Let's communicate on the basis of cherishing others' uniqueness and use these principles discussed when we talk inwardly to ourselves too. Qualifiers such as up to a point and as far as I know may make statements saner. The language of E prime removes every form of the verb to be, and hence all absolutisms. Entire books have been written in E prime by fans of general semantics. This all reminds me of an intriguing guy who appeared on the internet some years ago, labeling himself mega genius. His genius formula was something like 1. Expand attention, 2. Find all information, 3. Understand the technology, 4. Open your mind, 5. Examine the details, 6. Find and avoid assumptions. He said intelligence is seeing the differences between things. You may end up being what you try to resist, so be accepting and positive in focus. Perhaps he was a fan of general semantics. To sum up, as far as I can see, some binaural aspects of this general semantic stuff seem okay to me, for now. Well, up to a point. Maybe. Good night. I think...